Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Juror 13 show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and for the next hour, or at least most of the hour, I'll be your host. And tonight we're going to have two different segments on. One guest talking about a very bizarre case she is involved in. And also the last part of the program, we're going to be having the debut of Chloe's Corner. And hold on just a second. I think one of the guests is on the air now. Hello?
This is Kim.
Kim, greetings.
Greetings.
Hold on just a second, please. We're still waiting for Maureen to call in.
Okay.
Joining me on the line here is Kim Colton from Juror 13, and I believe we have Maureen with us now.
I am. I'm on.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Hi, Maureen.
Welcome. Maureen, this is Kim Colton is going to be on the line with us also. Kim, say hello to Maureen.
Hello, Maureen. It's nice to talk to you.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Thanks for being on.
Well, thank you.
Now, what I'd like to do is I want to let Maureen tell the story in her own words, and then we'll get into more stuff later on, but certainly she knows it much better than I do. And the first time I heard it, I was really, I didn't comprehend, I guess, that this actually happened. And I found it to be a very weird story and very frustrating also. So, Maureen, would you care to take us through what happened to you starting on May 19th of 2005?
Okay. I'm going to briefly go through it because it's a very long story. It could take
sure.
Hours. Basically, on May 19, 2005, I kissed my husband goodbye at the door. We were living in Las Vegas at the time, and he was heading to work at Citigroup. And we had a great conversation at the front door. He was talking about the plans for the weekend coming up and remarking on how beautiful the flowers were that I had just planted. It was just a great conversation. Kissed him goodbye, reached out, touched his face before he left, and never saw him again until May 11, 2009.
And wow. During that time period, just about 4 years to the day, what did you think had happened to him? Where did you think he was?
I thought he was dead.
Foul
so
play
much so
sometime?
That, I'm sorry, what did you say?
A foul play involved? In your mind?
I didn't know. I didn't know foul play, suicide. I had no idea. I mean, every single scenario in the world ran through my head 5,000 times a day.
And did you report him missing right away, or how did that work?
Yes. I reported him missing a couple days later. That was a Thursday that he went missing on. I got a call from his work, late in the afternoon, asking if John was home, and I said, no, isn't he there? And they said, no, he never returned from his lunch hour. So I waited a couple days to call because John had had a drinking problem, but he had been sober for 11 years, and I thought, oh, shit, he's falling back into drinking again, you know? So I figured he'd show up. I mean, even in the height of his alcoholism, he never once compromised his job. So I figured if he didn't show up by Monday, then something was horrendously wrong, and he did not show up by Monday, and his work called and said that he had not shown up there, so that's when we made the report.
Did Metro, you would wait a couple of days, so Metro took the report right away, the missing persons report?
Yes.
And that was Las Vegas Metro that you gave the report to?
It was, yes.
Okay. And you and John, to the best of your knowledge, there was no problems in your marriage at that point or anything?
No, we had just moved back to Vegas. We had lived there in the 80s, and John retired from the military. He had gone to work for a little company that was then eaten up by Sprint. About that point, Citibank got a hold of him and said, come out to Vegas. We went out to Vegas. That was in the 80s. They were going to have a lights out on their data center, so Sprint found out about that and called John and said, get back to Kansas City, so we came back here. So then he took early retirement from Sprint, and Citibank found out about that, and they said, get back out to Vegas. So we went back out in 2004. Huh. I mean, this is the caliber of man he was. So
mm-hmm.
He had two large corporations fighting over him, plus he was retired from the military. We went back to Vegas in 2004. We had the best time. He found a house that he absolutely loved. We were redoing it all, putting wood floors in, redoing the staircase. He even said that he wanted the staircase beautiful because he thought our daughters would walk down it as brides someday. We spent the whole winter doing that, and so everything was good. I mean, we were in the place we wanted to be. We thought this was perfect. We were retiring in Vegas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, were you employed at this time in 2005?
Was I? Yes.
Home? Okay.
I was working for who I'm still working for. I was telecommuting my position for. I worked for the Catholic Church.
And after this, I believe, now you're still working, and after John went missing, you ended up having some financial problems, am I correct?
Well, yeah, I lost both homes. I sold one home for no money, and I lost our home in Kansas. I was basically homeless. If it hadn't been for family, I really would have been kicked to the gutter.
Now, here's something I'm not clear on, Maureen. Oh, and by the way, I don't recall giving your last name when I introduced you. I think I just said Maureen. Now, tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. Is it Rentius?
Rentius. You got it pretty close, yeah.
Hey, by golly. That's what it is. Okay.
Amazing.
Thank you. Maureen, I'm going to ask you just a couple of things. On my mind, then I'm sure Kim probably has some questions he's curious about. And then we'll open up the phone lines. If any of the listeners have questions or comments, we'll encourage them to call in also. Now, when John went missing, without going into great detail, but was he at that time the primary breadwinner? I mean, to keep the bills paid and keep the houses,
yes.
Mortgage payments and so forth up. How about, like, joint checking or retirement accounts and that type of thing? Did you have separate things or...
We had always had things separate until we moved to Las Vegas, and for some reason we opened up a joint checking account at Citi. John had two retirements coming in. Neither of them were touched. In fact, his military, I told the military that he was missing right away. The check stopped right after that. It wasn't until a couple years later I got a hold of a congressman to find out exactly where those checks were going, and the military was holding them the entire time.
Okay, so he wasn't getting them, but neither were you.
Right. I was getting his Sprint in the early retirement that he took from Sprint. That was still coming into the joint bank account.
But his Sprint retirement income and whatever you were making for yourself and your job, that wasn't sufficient to keep up with the financial obligations you had.
No, it wouldn't even cover one mortgage. Or it would just cover one mortgage.
And now, the family makeup was, how many children do you have?
We have three, and I have three stepchildren. John was married previously.
Okay. And what age group are we talking for the kids?
They were all adults when this happened.
So you had no small children involved?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And my last question is after you turned in your report of John's disappearance to Metro, did you then do anything on your own to try to locate him, like calling his friends and that type of thing, trying to track him down?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Could you tell us what you did in that regard?
Right. We did contact his friends. We contacted family members, even estranged family members, to make sure, you know, he wasn't with them. We put flyers out everywhere. We searched on our own.
You opened up a website, too, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you get from any of these sources, John's friends, family, strange family, all this kind of thing, did you get any feel from them that his absence was intentional, purposeful, or you still were led to believe because of the lack of information that there was something else involved?
No. Nobody knew anything. Everybody was pretty shocked. Even one of his friends, my husband was an avid bowler. He was an all-marine bowler. He almost went pro with his bowling. And one of his friends said, well, is his bowling ball there? And I said, well, I went and looked. I said, yeah, it's here. And he's like, oh, my God, something's wrong.
And knowing what you know now, that he resurfaced, do you think these people you contacted, they were all truthful with you? I mean, you believe that nobody, in fact, knew where he was?
I do. I believe they were all truthful.
And before I pass this over to Kim, can we just talk about what happened on or about May 11th of 2009, or when you first got that contacted by the attorney? How
sure.
That came about.
Sure. That was, I got contacted in January of 2008 by somebody. It was via email, and they said that they had information on John and they wanted my address. And you know, I replied right back, I'm sorry, I don't give out my address to strangers. And I got in contact with my daughters, told them what happened, and one of the daughters recognized the email as somebody who had tried to IM her, and she had refused, I don't know, a couple days before or something. We kind of got online that night and started sleuthing, and we found divorce papers, you know, through the court system in Oklahoma. We also found out that this lawyer was from Oklahoma. We found out the guy was a lawyer, that he was from Oklahoma. And then we sleuthed the court system and found the divorce papers online.
So that's how you learned of it, through an internet search, basically?
Yep.
Hmm.
And where do things stand at this moment? Now, you actually saw John for the
yes.
first time in 4 years on May 11th at what, a court proceeding?
It was for mediation.
Mediation. And where do things stand with you and John at this moment?
To me, he's still missing. I mean, I don't know who that man was that sat across from me in mediation. It was not him. I mean, it was him physically, but it wasn't him mentally. He was a complete stranger.
And do you have any...
I have no address for him. I have no phone number for him. I have no email for him. I don't know where he lays his head at night. I know nothing.
Are any of the children in touch with him now more than you?
No.
Or... No.
No, nobody's in touch with him.
Okay.
It's one thing to walk out on your wife, but it's another thing to walk out on all your children who you helped raise. He was a participating parent.
Now, as I said to start with, this to me is a very bizarre story. Kim, do you have anything you'd like to ask Maureen?
Yeah, I do. Hi, Maureen. In January of 08, when that lawyer contacted you and you did your sleuthing through the Oklahoma courts and you found the divorce papers, did it give any address for him on
there
those
is, No, there is no address registered for him at the courthouse. You can call the county clerk and there's not an address mm-hmm. for him.
You must have been absolutely shocked when
I
you saw that.
Yeah. I thought
you thought it was a scam. Yeah, I would have too. Yeah. I would have thought, yeah, right. Who is this? Did you contact the lawyer then who originally contacted you through email? Did you say, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's what we did. In fact, I can't remember how it played out that night. It was kind of strange. I think he ended up calling one of my daughters, and they had a long conversation.
The lawyer did?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see him in this mediation in May. You must have just, I mean, I would have been speechless. I noted on your blogs that you'd said that he looked different. His hair was dyed. He had fake teeth. His clothing was so different. He had this weird jewelry on. What type of jewelry did he have on?
I don't know.
What was weird?
Orange band on one arm. I don't know what the orange band signified.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He had like, I don't know if it was Indian jewelry. You know, I wasn't paying attention. My daughters and my lawyer were paying more attention to that. They also
mm-hmm.
noticed that his left hand covered the entire time, and I hadn't noticed that. So there's a good possibility he married while still married to me.
Ah. Did your daughter, you mentioned your daughter was there. Did she say, Dad, what's going on? Where you been?
Three of my daughters were there, but they couldn't go into mediation with us. And see, up until right before mediation, we weren't even sure John was going to show. In fact, when I went to my lawyer's office before mediation, she said that, now, the new lawyer that had taken over John's case had said that he had not been in communication with John. So I thought, well, here, great. We're going up to mediation, and there's going to be no John. They're still not going to produce him.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped in the car and drove a couple blocks to where this mediation was taking place, and I get a call from my lawyer, and she says, they want the girls to go sit in some Subway shop. They don't want them, you know, attacking John or surrounding John, or I can't remember what her exact word
mm-hmm.
is. And I said, hell no. You know,
these people
have a right to see their dad. So
right.
We stood outside the building, and he walked right up to us.
Really?
Yeah.
So he walked right up to you?
Yeah. He was with the mediator, which was kind of weird, not and why the mediator was out on the sidewalk with us. The mediation had not begun. Yeah, he walked up to us, but then he looked at each of the girls and said their names as if he was like, you're Lisa, you're Johnny, you're Mary. And then he reached over, and we had one of my grandsons who was just a baby with us,
mm-hmm.
one he had never seen, possibly never knew about, and he reached over and kind of, scratched his cheeks and said, and who's this cute little guy? And I'm thinking, my husband would have grabbed that baby and been holding that baby and said, is this my grandson, you know?
Right.
And he was so much a stranger, I almost knocked his hand away. It was so weird.
Yeah. Get your hand off my grandson.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that must have been the strangest meeting. Your daughters must have just, their mouths must have been just hanging open. Did any one of them immediately launch into anything like, Dad, where have you been? What's going on?
No, they just hugged. And after that little baby incident, I don't know, something got about me, and I thought, you know, this is maybe the last chance my daughters have to see their dad. So I backed off and walked, you know, a little bit away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all he did was hug them each, and then he went inside. That was it.
And they never saw him again, not even on his way out?
Nope.
Wow, that is, and he's never tried to reach out or contact anyone, not even his siblings, or I'm assuming his parents are deceased, or?
His mom was alive last I knew, but no, he hasn't reached out to anybody. There was a rumor that he had reached out to his mom early on when he disappeared, but his mom's the type of person you just never knew what you could believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had put a flyer in the hands of the real estate people across the street that were selling the house from her across the street, and it was almost as if she was reading from the flyer, so I don't know.
And just to go back real quick, there's a question in the chat room. Just to go back to the morning he disappeared, was it a typical morning? Was it a normal for him to comment on your gardening? Was it a normal goodbye for the day?
Not really, because normally, because I was telecommuting my position, and my position was back here in the Midwest, and we were living West Coast, I was always up and at the computer early.
Mm-hmm.
So normally he would walk into it. To me on the computer, you know, kiss me goodbye.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I don't know why I walked him to the door that morning.
Huh. What about his Marine buddies?
Nobody has seen him. In fact, I've been in contact with all of the people he served with in Vietnam, and none of them. They've been very supportive of me, but none of them have heard from him or seen him.
Do you feel that he lives in he lives in Oklahoma, or does he live in Nevada?
We don't know.
That's exasperating. Did he get checked out by a doctor, if you know?
No, he hasn't. And I'm being told that I'm not allowed to get him checked out. I mean, that would be my dream. Have him checked out. If they say he's fine, then, you know, I could live with that. But never knowing what happened, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
he stroked out or whether it was, you know, a mental breakdown or what.
Mm-hmm.
My
now,
fear is that I can't get an intervention.
Your fear is that you cannot?
Yeah, my hands are tied.
Right.
I cannot
mm-hmm.
get it for him, you know.
Well, if he wants this divorce, there's going to have to be some property dispersed. Is that correct in Nevada?
No, there's nothing left.
Oh. So there's no reason to have contact again?
Correct.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so now you're an advocate of legal sanctions against those who go maliciously missing, correct?
Right, but it's actually more to keep families from having to go through this. You know, I believe
mm-hmm.
everybody has the freedom to go off and start a new life if that's the way they wish, but they need
mm-hmm.
to follow a certain protocol. You know, they need to report into a police station, any police station in the United States, and sign something saying this is what their intent is. And then the police
mm-hmm.
should be able to turn around and tell the families, this is what happened. This is
right.
to sign this intent. No family should have to go years and years and
mm-hmm.
years of hell like we have.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. And frankly, the local police department doesn't need to spend their resources on somebody who has decided to start a new life.
Yep, I agree.
I think that's wonderful. And that's state by state, correct?
I would like it to go national, but I don't know. I'm still trying to get this team together to sit down with me and figure out the options on it.
Maureen.
It would be best to go national, because somebody said to me, you know, what if you go state by state? Well, people are just going to run to the state where it's not been, you know, approved yet or passed.
True. True. Boy, Maureen, what do you think happened? What is your gut telling you?
I don't know. Something happened.
A stroke.
And it had nothing to do with our marriage. So it had to have been mental or medical or something he is on the run from.
Mm-hmm.
And the man didn't even get he didn't even get speeding tickets, so it's kind of hard to think he did anything criminal.
Right. Can you recoup any money that you've lost because of this?
It doesn't
from
appear
him. That. Can you slap him with a civil suit?
Yes. That's the only way that's going to happen is if I go the civil route.
Well, I don't know. I would want to, because I tell you what, it would narrow down where this guy lives. And I'd like, you know, I don't have any, like you say, you don't have any hard feelings, really. It's not a get even with him type of thing. But I would love to. I think it's time for him now to step up and answer some questions that the family, that you and your and his daughters have. Don't you think?
I think so, too. And my lawyer did draw up really good, hard-hitting discovery questions. I don't know whether he's answered those yet or not. And, frankly, I can't see him answering them. I can see him disappearing again.
Right. Oh, that's true. I suppose if you hit him with a civil case, he could just disappear again.
Yep.
Boy, and there was no trace of him, was there?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. I mean, he didn't even take his checkbook with him.
That is just amazing.
I'll bring you to what laws has he broken while he's out there. I mean, he had to have been under assumed name. He had
right.
to have been using his driver's license. I can't remember, expired either a year or two after he went missing. So, you know, he's either running on a bogus driver's license or something. I don't know. He's had to have broken a lot of laws out there. No,
right.
not paying taxes for 4 years.
Yes. The lawyer's office in Oklahoma, was that near any state line? Do you know if you were to say?
Yeah, it's pretty close to Kansas. It's pretty close to the Kansas state line.
Because I'm almost thinking it would be too easy to go to a lawyer in the state you're actually in if you're trying to really hide. My guess would be then that he may live in Kansas.
It could be. But according to Oklahoma's laws, divorce laws, you have to be a resident of Oklahoma for, I think it was 6 months, and then a resident of that county for 6 weeks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
One more question in the chat room. Has the divorce been finalized yet?
No. Until August 5th.
There's still time then to find out where this guy lives and have his children and his buddies come to him and ask him, okay, we got some questions for you, and you're going to answer them. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, when I got to see him, I had to sit there with two mediators sitting in the room, you know. Part of the time, that was our alone time. We had two mediators sitting there. The rest of the time,
what were you mediating? What was there
to
mediate?
I don't know. I finally slammed down my hand and said, negotiations off. I don't know what we're mediating.
Well, what do you think, Denny? This is an odd case.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I guess we all, Maureen certainly, and the family, and even I as a spectator, would love to know what changed. You know, I mean, certainly it's a baffling thing at the moment, just trying to figure out what happened, you know, to change him or why he would do what he did. And Maureen, talking about your efforts now to get legislation enacted that would protect spouses in the future, it's already happened to you, but can you tell us what's involved with that? I've never tried to get a law enacted. So what have you done so far, and where are you in the process?
Not very far. I'm still waiting for this team to get pulled together. There's a gentleman at my who's a parishioner at where I work, who is well-connected with a lot of politicians in the area, and he's pulling this team together for me, but it hasn't happened yet.
Now, I heard you on another show, perhaps it was Levi Page's show, and I have a recollection, it could be an error as it's becoming more common with me, but my recollection was that when you were discussing your legislative efforts, was that there may be something included that not only would the individual who had, as we're using the term, decided to start a new life, have to report his or her whereabouts to a police agency, and that there was no foul play involved, and it was a voluntary absence, of maybe doing some type of financial disclosure, too. Did I dream that, or was that something that maybe was in consideration at one time?
I've never considered it in my law.
Okay. Well, maybe it was somebody in a chat room.
I can't imagine being one of his daughters and having this happen. My heart just goes out not only to you, Maureen, but to his daughters.
Yeah.
That's just painful.
It's rough. I mean, they're all strong girls, and, you know, they're surrounding mom. Not really surrounding me. We've kind of built like a wall together, but you know, they'll put it in perspective. But it hurts. It hurts.
Maureen, if you had to pick a date or a time frame when you thought something might be ready to go before the legislature, how fast do you think something can be done? I know you're trying to get this team together. But what do you think the process overall will take from the time you get your people, your team set up, and then have to do, you know, the drafting of the legislation and so forth? Do you have any time frame that you're thinking of, or is it just kind of open-ended?
It's open-ended, but I'd like to see it as soon as possible. I mean, there are families that are going through the exact same thing I am. I'm just more vocal about it. Once they find out that the person was maliciously missing, then they take it down to a marital level and they quit talking about it. Well, they got to they got to start talking because it's so wrong.
What I'd like to do now, if anybody has a question or comment for Maureen, you can reach us at 646-478-0982, 646-478-0982. And if anybody listening, if it just so happens that you've gone through anything similar to this and have an experience to share, maybe something you did or didn't do, that type of thing that Maureen might benefit from, please feel free to call in and talk about it. Now, if I'm assuming that probably the majority of cases it's the man who goes absent, but I suppose it's possible that a woman could also disappear, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So even though the majority of cases would be men, it would apply, and if the legislation goes through, it would be to either spouse that,
correct.
That decided to take off.
And not just spouses. I'm making it from 16 years old up because the police too often say to families of teenagers that are missing, well, they've run away.
Right.
So it's going to end that, and it's going to end any family just being told, well, they've, you know, walked off to start a new life when they don't have any proof of that.
Now, hold on, ladies. We got a caller. Let's see who's on the line with us. Area code 503, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Danny. It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say hi to Maureen and give her a big hug.
Karen.
I don't really have any questions. I kind of know most everything, but I, you know, it's you just are so brave and you know, having gone through all this and still willing to get out there and talk about it. You have all my respect.
Thank you. Well, the way I see it, I did nothing wrong. I mean, I absolutely did nothing wrong.
No, it's just so hard.
Other people.
Yeah, to go through all
right.
that and then to find out he's not, you know, he's not deceased.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. But anyway, hang tough.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
All righty, bye-bye.
We got another caller from the 309 area code. 309, you're on the line. Go ahead, please.
All righty, this is Catfish. And
hi, Cat.
Hi, Cat.
Hello. I want to know, actually, this is a wise one's question, but I'll ask it. how will this law affect victims that are trying to hide from their abusers?
The way I'm writing it is so that anybody who's going to go off and start a new life, they can go to any police station in the country. Within so many hours, I've just seen X hours now because I don't have a solid, you know, amount of hours. But they could go anywhere, and that way they can put distance from their abuser. And the police aren't going to turn around and say, well, you know, your wife is in such and such city, you know, this is where you can find her. They're just going to turn around and tell the family she's starting
right.
a new life, and that's it,
right.
you know.
Then she's safe. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Well, that was just a question that came up on the board here, so I wanted to throw it at you.
Thank you.
And good luck in your efforts, okay? I think
Thanks.
We've talked before.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Kat.
Thank you, Catfish.
That's an interesting part. I hadn't thought about that, but I'm glad Kat asked that, or I guess a wise one, actually, was his question about protecting if it's an abusive situation. And, in my mind, that works as long as the police wouldn't be obligated to call the abusing husband, like you said, and say, well, she's at 29 Main Street, Boca Raton, Florida. You know, I think as long as the individual who is leaving, if they're leaving for that type of reason to get out of a dangerous or abusive situation, that would be great. And I had missed before that this was going to be for anyone 16 and over, and I think it's a good idea because look at the number of non-spouses, children, or significant others, and so forth. So I think it would be limiting it too much if it were only a legal spouse.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a gut feeling for the chances of getting legislation through? I mean, do you really feel that this is doable or no?
I think it's doable. I've talked to several police around the country, and they're immediately for it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, hasn't passed anybody's debate yet, but, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And this wouldn't include women who are running from abusive husbands.
Well, they can go to any police station in the country and report.
That's true.
They don't have to
tell where they are.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's, you know, and you may even have corruption in your own police department where you may not want to go to your own police department, you know? So
mm-hmm.
It could be anywhere in the country, just as long as they report in, you know, somewhere within X amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen, we have another question in the chat room wanting to know if John is getting Social Security.
I don't think so. In fact, when one of the things you can do is write a letter to Social Security, and they will hold the letter for you, for your person, and they will try and send it out to the last address the person is at. And every time I've done that, it's gone right back to our Las Vegas address.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to do, do you want to give out any contact information for you if anybody can think of anything that might help you or they want to get involved somehow possibly in the legislative effort or anything? Is there some contact information you'd like to give?
They can go on my website. My email's right there.
Okay. And what's your URL?
It's www.reintjes.us.
Okay, folks, if anybody has any comments or questions or suggestions, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
or would somehow like to get involved in Maureen's efforts to get the legislation through, you can go to her website and her email is on there and you can perhaps help. So please do that. And somebody just mentioned a question from Maureen from Facebook. What is the question?
What can we do to help this get this legislation moving? Was that it?
It could have been. My eyes don't work as fast as do you have a Facebook page, Maureen?
I do.
You do? Is that something people could get in touch with you through also then?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
It's facebook.com, then it's maureen.reintjes.
Okay.
And it's R-E-I-N-T-J-E-S, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
.com. Okay. Now, I'd like you to do me a favor, if you're willing. Could you come back on and whenever you have some news, you know, about the legislation, if there's been some breakthrough as far as identifying what happened to John or what caused all this, would you be willing to come back on and keep us updated?
I will.
Oh,
okay,
that'd be
really
great.
Appreciate it. Any other, Kim, anything else from you before we let
Maureen
go?
That's it for now. We'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope this legislation goes through. I think it's very important. And I keep my prayers for you, Maureen, and your daughters that you find answers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen,
thank you, hold on. Hold on just a second, Maureen. I think I know who this caller is, but in case it's not, it might be for you.
Okay.
760, you're on the show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good. Maureen's still on. Hi, this is Chloe.
Chloe.
Hi, Chloe.
Girl.
Hi, everybody. You know, I was real curious. This is an interesting case. But with this economy and everything the way it is, one of the ways to approach some of this, I think these thinkers that just take off, whether it's a man or a woman, I don't care, they're wasting the taxpayers' money. And this day and age, the taxpayers are getting really tired of footing the bill. And I think that's where to hit legislature is in the pocketbook. And say, why are we paying for this? Why are we paying for hunting him down? Why are we this and that? And there should be a punishment for them and work all of that kind of a thing in. But there's got to be some sort of punishment, even if it's just the payback. Some of these searches cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's ridiculous.
Yep,
right.
I agree.
So hit them in the pocketbook.
That's what I say, too.
Okay, well, Maureen, thanks again, and please keep in touch, okay?
I will. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and best of luck to you.
All right.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Maureen.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Denny, I guess I'll hang up too then.
Now, wait a minute, Kim. We might need your expertise here.
Yeah, I need you, Kim.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you, I need to make an announcement before we start here. Of course,
okay.
Chloe, Nikki, mm-hmm. is on the line. We're going to do a debut tonight of a new segment called Chloe's Corner. And that's where
Yay.
Chloe decides what she wants to talk about and so on and so forth. Now, we had originally scheduled Maureen for about a half hour, then Chloe to do the second half. And I'm probably in the doghouse because we ran over with Maureen about 10 minutes.
Oh,
and
no,
I'm sure
I kept typing in there. You weren't reading the chat. I said, talk long, talk slow. I don't know what to talk about tonight.
I'll probably be fired after tonight for keeping her on. Keeping her on the back burner. I know, I'm only kidding. I saw the chat room and I figured. at any rate, this is Chloe's Corner, and I guess the best thing to do right now is turn it over to Chloe.
Oh, thanks. I hope some of my friends will call in and help me with some of this. You know, it's been such an interesting week. And first of all, I've been just busier than heck because I've got relatives coming down and we've had several visits already, and so I haven't. Thankfully, my criminals that I follow haven't been too bad for the last couple of weeks, so there haven't been a lot of updates. I was in the middle of listening a lot about little Jada Justice, and she's the young lady that had been found. First, her cousin had been babysitting her. She's 2 years old, and she'd been babysitting her and said that somebody had snatched her out of the back of the car when she went to this small market. And so I had just heard that there was going to be a live news update at 5 o'clock Indiana time, and so I was just running around trying to find it, figuring CNN would have it because, you know, Nancy Grace has been talking about this for a week or more. And right before that happened, just 15 minutes before, is when they announced that Michael Jackson had died. Well, not that he had died, but I figured he had died because of the way it was written. And so from then on, I couldn't find hardly anything. I did find some now, but I didn't find anything on the news conference on Jada. And, you know, and I'm sorry that Michael Jackson died as far as, I mean, he's a talented man. But, you know, you come to a jury site and talk about Michael Jackson, you'll probably find that a lot of the people that watch these kind of trials have a little different take on him than the average person and that just enjoys his music, you know. And I have to say I do, too, because of all of his trials and stuff and what he's gone through in his life and his quirkiness, et cetera. So, in fact, that would be fun if anybody wants to call in and just give their opinions on any of this concerning Michael Jackson. That would be fun. Anybody wants to give any opinion on the Jada Justice case? The two were arrested. That was her cousin and her boyfriend, and they're pleading not guilty. I guess on Monday, just before they went in to plea, he got tasered for standing on top of a desk and acting like a fool. And so this will just become something interesting and probably long and tedious before the trial actually comes to fruition. So that's in the news.
Well, I'm glad they got those two guys. That case did just seem to go by the wayside. Of course, hasn't everything since Michael Jackson died. That's all you hear about. Apparently, the rest of the world has just folded up and gone home for the next couple weeks.
Ladies, we've got a call on. Let me see if we can inject some new blood into us here.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Okay. Area code 702, go ahead.
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, Jan.
Hey, I was just wondering, Corey, what do you think? Do you think that the mother has something to do with this, considering that she has been way too calm when this child was missing, and the fact that she wasn't, you know, holding the picture, you know, crying, where's my daughter, anything of that nature. What is your take on that?
I have no idea, honestly. The mother, the thing that bothered me, the mother was peculiar when I saw her, Nancy Grace. She was all made up. In fact, one of her callers came in and said, how can she just sit there so calm and all made up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I found that a little disturbing. Nancy Grace is quite on the mother's side. You know, she's going through this horrible, horrible, horrendous this and that. Another thing that I had read about this family was that the girl had, the cousin had been in trouble before with drugs and this and that. And I thought, well, if the family knew this, why the heck are they allowing her to babysit? So there, I have a lot of questions about the whole thing and the family dynamics and what went on that actually caused all this. Maybe everybody was just totally dysfunctional. That seems to go on a lot nowadays.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I just thought it was too strange, you know. She was, you know, acting similar to how Casey Anthony reacted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she didn't go out partying, but she was just way too calm, like nothing was bothering her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that bothered me too. She was way too calm about it. She's, you know, and I certainly wouldn't want, you know, be looking out to have my nails done, my hair done, and my best jewelry on just because I'm on TV when my kid's missing. My kid's
right.
missing. You can look at me looking really bad because I really don't care what you think of me. I want to find my kid.
Right.
You know? And so that bothered me a little bit. That was important to her, bothered me.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. You know. So, you know, like old wise one just said over here, we're practically on the verge of World War III and nobody's even talking about it, but I don't really do that kind of news. But, you know, North Korea is kind of making me a little bit nervous.
Yeah,
I'm not too far from Hawaii, by the way. So.
ladies, we have another caller on. Hang loose with us, Dr. Jane. Let me get the next call.
Okay.
309, you're on the show. Go ahead, please.
Well, this is just Catfish again.
Hey, Cat, welcome back.
Glad to be back. Hey, something really weird about this Jada case to me, too, is that the police are now saying that they think she was actually dead 3 days before she was reported missing. Well, why didn't her mother report her missing?
Well,
if they think she was dead 3 days before.
Well, her mother had given her, she had talked to Jada, I think, 4 days before that. And her mother had supposedly gave her daughter to the cousin, Castillo. She talked to her daughter, or she talked to the little girl, 4 days before they reported her missing, and the mother had given the child to Castillo, the cousin, the day after she talked to her. So the mother didn't know she was missing, supposedly. Because I had that same question. Well, why didn't you report
well,
it? But, so
what
I guess
was her daughter doing with an 18-year-old girl for how many days did she give her to her for? And didn't they live in the same town?
I think so, but I heard that the mother was supposedly going on vacation or something. But see,
her mother
doesn't really add up.
Her mother worked for like 4 days a week or something of that nature, and that's why she watches her on those many days.
Well, what I had read today was that Jada had been, it sounds like this was confessed to the police by these two, and I can't even think of what his last name is because it's a strange last name. What's his name?
We call him Taser Boy.
Yeah, Taser Boy. Okay. Well, the guy, he has burns all over his face, and they think that's because he tried to burn the body before encased her in some cement. And, when you look at that picture, you can see all the burns on his face. But they had evidently beaten her, and then what she's saying now is she had turned around and realized that the girl wasn't breathing. And so then I guess they tried to get rid of the body, but who knows, you know.
Well, the boyfriend actually confessed, from what I understand, that his girlfriend did it, that she was whooping her for having a bathroom accident. and he couldn't get her to stop, so he went in the other room and watched TV.
Oh, God.
That was reported today.
Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Well, you know, how many women cover up for boyfriends that do this sort of thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Too,
that's
you
true.
Know, so yeah, the whole case is pretty screwy. I think we'll be hearing a lot more about it.
I just don't understand why are they encasing them in cement? I mean, okay, they hit the child and the child died. Just take the responsibility. Why go through all that and bury them in cement? That's, you know, the same as Nevaeh, you know. They start hearing what other people do when they start copycats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because, you know, that old adage of history repeats itself. You know, I always kind of put that to every 20 years a president gets shot or something, you know. But when you look at it, life really does repeat itself. And these two idiots, they have no clue that this is what they did is just history repeating itself. This is what people do when they don't have any knowledge, any background. They haven't had enough lifespan to see that this is what all people do, so don't be so stupid to do it.
Right.
You know? So it's just history repeating itself. It's like, oh, my God, we'll cover this up and get away with it. Well, dummies, you don't.
Right. One of the things it says in this news report is Justice's mother, Melissa Swiatek, left her daughter with Castillo for several days because she was being potty trained.
Yeah, I heard that too. But I had heard too that she went on vacation, so it makes no sense.
So I don't want to potty train my child. Here, I'll have somebody else do it.
An 18-year-old to boot.
Well, and I had heard she left the child on the 8th, and then she was reported missing on the 16th, but she really, they think she died 3 days before that, so on the 13th.
What a man.
So,
oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think Mommy might have been partying.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
it sounds
that
like
would
it.
Have surprised me one bit.
Something's not right in all that. Something's not right within that family because you can just feel it.
Right.
You know, and we've all had enough experience under our belt to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what's
Well, we keep seeing the same story over and over.
I wish you'd see what happened, baby.
You know, just little
really
variables.
Want.
Yeah. Same story, different day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Different child. Different innocent child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know this little girl was almost 3 years old. And, you know, my grandson came and visited me last week. And he hasn't really been trained yet to be in the public. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. He was here 5 hours. And believe me, I mean, poor old wise, when the next day he called me, this is the most patient man in the world. He sits with the kids. He plays with the kids. And he said it's going to take me 2 days to recover from that 5 hour visit. I finally got in my house and I put my arms under his arms. I said, that is it. And I took him out to the back patio and he's just kicking his feet all the way. My arms are outstretched as he's trying to kick me as hard as he can. And I said, set him on the patio. And finally my son looks at him and he goes, you better stay outside. Even my son knew when I said, that's it. But they're little, they can be little hellions at that age.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I can imagine if there's very little training, this little girl, I mean, she can drive you nuts. The only person that can really adore a child of that age, especially if they're not trained well, is a mother and a parent.
Yeah.
You know, because the rest of the world is like, go home. You know? But they're real, very hard to take. You know, and I know when my kids were that age, I was pulling my hair out. And, you know, stepping over them when they're having a tantrum and ignoring them. And that kind of thing. But I can't imagine beating them, but that is a very hard time. Putting an 18-year-old in charge who is not that child's mother and going through that kind of behavior, et cetera, especially if she's doing drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine the combination.
Honestly, though, have we even heard how old the mother was? You know.
True.
She may be younger. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I saw her on TV. She didn't look that young.
She looks like she was 26, I think.
Yeah.
Like that. Don't you
somewhere
think?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Hmm. Somewhere in her mid-20s. But
well,
know,
then
I,
she needs to get charged with something, too.
That's what I was thinking.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, though. There's so many stupid parents out there that we hear about that do these stupid things. And, you know, I don't know. Is there any law against being stupid?
Well, sooner or later, they find another one to break.
Yeah.
I have a couple stupid nieces, but at least they leave the kids with responsible people. You know.
That's, yeah.
And I guess that's our blessing.
I'm sure my 3-year-old grandson will get some manners one of these days. I hope so.
Hopefully by the next time he comes back.
Yeah. We may have to meet for a really fun dinner.
Oh, eventually you'll be able to take him out in public.
Yeah. Oh, they sure are cutie pies, though. Boy, woo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But I don't get people at all, and I've had a long gripe about this. But then I at my age, you know, like I say, I am a grandmother, and I've got them of all ages. So you just kind of watch things repeat itself. But I've never seen anything like what I've really been seeing the last few years, which is people just having children to have children. Accidents happen, but this is like, but I love him, you know, and I want to have his baby. Oh, no, you don't. You know,
well,
I mean,
when we were trying to talk to that child during that time, I just don't get that.
Yeah.
Or even irresponsible mother would still call to talk to their kid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we were that age, though, I mean, when we were younger, we did the babysitting thing, and we were taught, you took the babysitting class, you know what I'm saying, and you knew what to do
mm-hmm.
and how to, and that's just gone way out the window because, you know, nobody... You know, these girls that want to have these babies, it's so glorified. I see it so much when these pregnant girls come into my office and they're like, oh, I'm so excited, you know, because now they get the baby shower and they get all the gifts. And, that you know, they think it's just like a doll and then that's it. You know,
yeah,
they
well, just wait till they're three, you know. I mean,
right.
That's terrible twos is true. You know,
mm-hmm.
they should all have to take care of a 2-year-old for a week, and then they'd really back off wanting to have a baby.
You would think.
You know, I mean, really, this tough
oh, yeah.
kids. So you better be well prepared. And
mm-hmm.
and that's just not what's happening. That's why all these kids are getting. These people don't even want them once they get them. And it's such a shame because it breaks
and
their heart.
And it makes it so hard for people to adopt even. That are truly good people that want to adopt, that's why they go overseas, you know. They didn't make the adoption process so hard, you know.
Oh, yeah, you might, that just struck a bell. Did you hear about the guy from Duke University that had adopted a foster son and he was pimping them out for porn and molesting them himself? That just broke today.
Oh, I didn't
know. Yeah. Yeah, I just heard that.
Yeah, that is sick.
42-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He was the director of the Duke Center for Health Policy.
And evidently he has a partner, and his partner didn't know anything about it. He had commented online to the cop, the actual cop that was setting him up. You know, they got a tip about him that he had to wait till his partner left town. You know, that just...
Wow.
Yeah, that story's going to be... Well, like you said, Michael Jackson's pretty much smothering a lot of the stories.
All the other news,
you
right.
You know, it really is sad, too, because now we've got one of a baby that died that I put on or in the news this week, and it's of this guy named James Sargent from Illinois. He's been sentenced to 100 years for neglect, for
yes.
allowing his 5-month-old baby son to basically rot. From,
you know, that was
50
miles from me, and I never heard a word of that.
Really?
I mean, it's not even 50 miles. It's a 30-minute drive.
Wow. Yes.
And I saw it on your site.
Yeah.
Ladies, I hate to butt in, but we're down to our last 45 seconds. So I want to thank everybody, thank all of you who called in, and Kat and Dr. J, and certainly Kim Colton for being on the show tonight, and Chloe, congratulations on the debut of Chloe's Corner.
And
I don't think it's going to be tough to fill time in the future. I think once we get a topic going, it'll be generate And I think we'll have a lot of interest. And 2 weeks from tonight, any of you interested in the Binion trials, the trial and retrial, the show will be about that. Our guest will be Lisa Sweetingham, who covered the retrial for Court TV Online. And we'll also have Juror 13 panelists, Kindi, as she's known in the Juror 13 chat room, and Lovelaw. So I'm really looking forward to the 15th, 2 weeks from tonight. And thanks all of you who listened. Thanks all of you in the chat room. And thanks again, Kim, Chloe, Doc, and Kat.
You're welcome, Denny. Good night,
thanks.
And God bless.
Thanks,
okay,
Denny.
Everybody have a great night now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.